Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are in the second Sefer book of the Torah proper for the Hebrew year 5781. The name of our book is Shemot, Names, and this is our 23rd parsha or portion entitled Pekudei, Accounts. This is our last Torah parsha from the second Sefer book of the written Torah, Shemot, Names. Next week, we will begin our study of the third book of the Torah proper, Vayikra. The Torah studies in this section will be for the most part longer and more intense than previous studies. Yet, the foundation that will be laid is so integral and necessary to all who are being reintroduced to the Hebraic life and mindset Yahweh is restoring us to. Our true identity is Israel. We are not Jewish, but we are a part of the returning house of Yosef Ephraim, the non-Jewish house of Israel. The book of Vayikra will be a key to restoring us to our true identity, along with the house of Judah, as the reunited whole house of Israel. I want to welcome all our regular listeners as we continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. I do like to make you aware each week that we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary, because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes. Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries, again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. We are going to take a brief look into our Parsha, Pekudei, which means accounts. It is basically a summary of the last few Torah parshot or portions and a recounting of the materials, fixtures, clothing, etc. that we have been studying. Yet, it is in essence more than just an accounting of these things as something of themselves. First, because this accounting is also to include the actual congregation of Israel, citing Shemot, Exodus 38 and verse 25, as a people, they are Yahweh's too. Second, because the word Pekudei is related to the word Pekudim, which is precepts, it is literally the commands of the king. Pekudei is how a king accounts for his treasures. So here in our Torah Parsha, Yahweh, Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe, is accounting for all that belongs to him, of which Israel is included as his segula, or treasured possession. At this point, we are not going to go back through all the listings found in our Parsha. Instead, as this is the last Parsha of the second Sefer book of the Torah, I am going to bring to our emphasis some of the last verses from our Parsha. Yahweh has been working towards something very vital throughout this Sefer, this book of Shemot Exodus. Let us look at what that is. The presence of Yahweh comes to abide among his people. We are quoting from Shemot Exodus chapter 40 verses 31 through 35. And Moshe and Aharon and his banim, his sons, washed their hands and their feet thereat, when they went into the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. And when they came near unto the Mizbaach, the altar, they washed, as Hashem Yahweh commanded Moshe, and he erected the katzer, the courtyard, all around the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and the Mizbaach, the altar, and set up the Masach Sha'ar HaKatzer, the screen gate of the court. So Moshe finished the work. Then the Anon, the cloud, covered the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. And the Kavod Hashem, the glory of Yahweh, filled the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And Moshe was not able to enter into the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, because the Shekhinah, the manifest presence, the cloud abode thereon. And the Kavod to Hashem, the glory of Yahweh, filled the Mishkan, the tabernacle. In verse 33 of our above passage, we are told that Moshe had now finished the work of setting up the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Earlier, we were told that the people had finally made an end of building the Mishkan, the tabernacle. It is important that we emphasize the latter part of the following verse. Quoting from Shemot, Exodus chapter 39, verse 32. Thus was all the work of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, finished. And the B'nai Israel, the sons, the children of Israel, did according to all that Hashem Yahweh commanded Moshe, so did they. The Torah is full of the high points of Am Israel and the low points too. In Parsha Ki Titzah, we saw one of Israel's worst failures, the sin of the golden calf. Now, in our present Parsha, we see one of Israel's brightest moments. Yahweh's instruction to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle, has finally been completed. This is what was recorded by Yahweh through Moshe. The B'nai Israel, the sons, children of Israel, did according to all that Hashem Yahweh commanded Moshe. Baruch Hashem Yahweh, Israel fully followed and completed what Yahweh had given them to do. The mercy of Yahweh is great towards his people. We may fail terribly, but there's still hope. If we get back up, make teshuvah, repentance, we may still overcome and fulfill what Yahweh has asked of us. This brings us to the testimony below. We're quoting from Shemot, Exodus 40, verse 34 through 35. Then the Anan, the cloud, covered the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, and the Kavod Hashem, the glory of Yahweh, filled the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And Moshe was not able to enter into the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, because the Shekhinah, the manifest presence, the cloud abode thereon, and the Kavod Hashem, the glory of Yahweh, filled the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Now, if you remember back earlier, in the Sefer, the book of Shemot, Exodus, you will recall Yahweh's promise to Israel if they obeyed his instructions. Quoting from Shemot, Exodus 25 and verse 8, and let them make me a mikdash, a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And then quoting from Shemot, Exodus 29, verses 45 through 46, and I will dwell among the B'nai Israel, the sons, the children of Israel, and will be their Elohim, their mighty one, and they shall have da'at, intimate knowledge, that I am Hashem Elohim, Yahweh, their mighty one, who brought them forth out of Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, to rest my Shekhinah, my manifest presence, dwelling among them. I am Hashem Elohim, Yahweh, their mighty one. This was truly the defining moment for the nation of Israel. Yahweh had kept the promise of his word. The cloud of glory, his Shekhinah, his manifest presence, was now dwelling among them. No other nation had such a testimony. None of the false mighty ones whom the nations served and worshiped had such a manifestation of glory and power. It set Israel apart. It has always been so. It is the manifestation of Yahweh's presence that matters most. If what we do does not culminate in his dwelling among us, then we need to ask, why are we doing it? This is what Moshe presented to Yahweh when he was told that he would send merely an angel to go with Israel to defeat their enemies and take them into the land of promise. We're quoting from Exodus 33, verses 15 through 16. And he, Moshe, said unto him, Yahweh, if thy presence go not with me, bring us not up from here, from Sinai. For how then shall it be known that I and thy people have found chen, grace, in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be made distinct as separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of Ha'adamah, the ground. So many times, we only look to the blessing. If we get what we want, then we are satisfied. However, if we serve Yahweh only for his redemptive promises, then we are truly falling short. The whole point is not what Yahweh does, but who he is. When we are more concerned for Yahweh's glory than about our own needs, then we will truly walk before him in ever-increasing measures toward full maturity. The blessing, what does it matter without him? Moshe wanted none of that. It was Yahweh and Yahweh alone that was most needed. The presence of Yahweh defined Israel as a nation among all the other nations. It was the manifestation of his glory that mattered most. It wasn't about the greatness of Israel. It was all about the greatness of their mighty one. The presence of Yahweh, the governing factor. We're reading from Shemot, Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 through 38. And when the Anan, the cloud, was taken up from over the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the B'nai Israel, the sons, the children of Israel, went onward in all their journeys. But if the Anan, the cloud, were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the Anan Hashem, the cloud of Yahweh, was upon the Mishkan, the tabernacle, by day, and the Ish fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the Bayit Israel, the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. Beloved, here is the governing principle of Israel. Then, and it must become even so for the nation of Israel as it is being restored in this hour. When the Amud, the cloud, moved, Israel moved. When the Amud, the cloud, stayed, Israel remained encamped. Everything was governed by the moving of the Amud, by the cloud. The Shekinah, the manifest presence of Yahweh, it must still be true today. We don't have the same outward manifestations of Yahweh's presence as did Israel of old. However, we have something better. Our human spirit has been awakened, reborn. We can discern according to an entirely different set of faculties, the moving of Yahweh. Yochanan John wrote, we are quoting from Yochanan Aleph, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. And the Ruach HaKodesh, Yahweh's Spirit of Holiness, Mishka, the anointing, which you received from him, makes its ma'on, its dwelling in you, and you are not nitzrach, needy, that anyone should be your more, your teacher. But as the same Ruach HaKodesh, Yahweh's Spirit of Holiness, the Mishka, the anointing, teaches you concerning everything, and is emet, truth, and is not kesav, lie or falsehood, and as he taught you, keep your ma'on, your dwelling, in him. Again, we're pointing also toward Yirmiyahu, chapter 31, verse 34. The inward anointing of Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, today, in our awakened human spirit, is as much a defining characteristic as was the pillar of cloud and fire to Israel of old. How deeply we need to learn to cultivate the sensitivity of our enlivened human spirit. By our blessed Mashiach's own resurrection, our human spirit has been resurrected, made to stand up, literally in Hebrew, meaning the meaning of techiyat. out of the deadness of sins and trespasses, citing Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Without this, we are left to our own imaginations. We are left to our own mental capabilities and logic. The ways of Yahweh are not the ways of human effort alone. We must be intimate with Him. We must know Him as a husband and wife know one another. It is a level that goes beyond mere verbal communication. It is an inward, intuitive knowing out from the level of our enlivened human spirit. Yahweh has made this available to all His children. It is not something we need a man to be our sole guide. It is the inheritance of every true Israelite born of the Spirit. There are teachers within the body of Mashiach, and they have a vital part in helping bring the assembly of redeemed Israel to maturity, citing Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. But we are not to be locked into men to discern for us the leading of Yahweh, either as individuals or corporately as a people. We all have access to the inward indwelling of Yahweh's presence through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness. It is still to be the defining characteristic of all Israel as the body of Mashiach today, as it was for our avot, our fathers, then. Quoting Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Ruach HaElohim, the Spirit of the Mighty One, Yahweh's Spirit of Holiness, they are B'nai HaElohim, sons, children of the Mighty One." We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of Torah. Kazach uBaruch, strength and blessing. We also say, when we come to the end of the study of each book of the Torah, Kazach, Kazach, V'nitzkazach, be strong, and may we be strengthened. Amen.